Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein.
This week we're going to have a very interesting program. We're going to be speaking about visiting the Pope. A number of Askanim from the Muncie area, from the shul, Reb Lazer Shiner, the big Askin, his shul, they went to visit the Pope. And circulated on the internet were videos of them, I guess, besides visiting the Pope, then sort of spontaneously somebody started singing Erech Yamim Asbiyehu, and they ended up dancing with the Pope, and it created a little bit of controversy. We live in the shadow of the Holocaust, where sadly, maybe almost half of Klal Yisrael was killed. So it's an incredibly painful and touchy subject, and I can understand the pain, like when you speak to older people, visiting the Pope, the astonishment. And we will hear from Rav Gifta a clip from the Tulz Rosh Hashiva where he speaks about going to the Pope and, his outrage at it and the pain. I mean, besides going back, we had, 1,500 years of persecution, millions and millions of our brethren. Interestingly, I have a brother-in-law, Heshi Kleiman. He's a very well-known Rav in Flatbush, and he's an author of Praying with Fire, best-selling author. And he actually lost siblings in the Holocaust. So it's not a distant memory to me. This is co-generational. My brother-in-law's siblings were killed in the Holocaust. I have a Mechutin in Montreal, the Mordechai Kern. He lost siblings, half brothers and sisters in the Holocaust. So it's very relevant. So we'll be discussing it. And for tonight's program, we will have, again, a clip from the Tulz Rosh Hashiva. We have Rabbi Yaakov Feitman, the well-known Rav and Mechanach and writer from the Five Towns. We will have from Lakewood, Rav Weisberg, who's from Chabad. He's a Lakewood Talmud who became very mushba from the Lubavitch Rebbe Zichron Levracha. And he will be speaking about the Lubavitcher Rebbe's opinion, because he's written about it, going to the Pope. And we will have the Rav of Eirach Chaim, the shul that started all of this, Rabbi Aaron Lankry, a very dear friend. He will be discussing, also he's the Manal of Yeshiva Yeridei, a new breath, groundbreaking type of yeshiva. He will be discussing about why they went, what they went, etc. But let me share with you my thoughts before we start. And, as usual, it's going to be maybe a little bit different than many of you. It says, Avram ha'ivri, kol ha'olam me'aver echad, v'hu me'aver ha'sheni. The concept of a Yid, of a Yehudi, is the dissenter. The dissenter is, just because everybody has one opinion, doesn't mean, on the contrary, Avram was the dissenter. There was 10,000 and Avram. He had a different opinion. And Bill Gates once said, he said, you learn more from your one critic than from the 1,000 people who agree with you. So let me share my opinion. Rav Gusman, the great, he's actually the great Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva of Netzach Yisrael, Rav Milas, he was a survivor of World War II. He lived in the forest in Poland, in near Vilna, someplace in those areas, for almost 4 years. He was a partisan, eating roots and shoots. He had one child. His child was thrown up on a bayonet, one boy, and they caught him on the bayonet, and they killed him. I'll tell you another fabulous story with Rav Gusman, who I learned by, and I was mishamish. I hold he was just a malacha like him. I'll share a story. When the Litvak tell stories, they top the Hasidim stories. He said he once came to Rav Chaim Meiser to ask him a very shvara shaila. And Rav Chaim Meiser said, instead of standing inside, let's talk outside. So he took him for a walk. It was in the forest near Vilna. And he started asking a shaila, and Rav Chaim Meiser looked. He says, you see these oak trees? If you pick up the oaks and you boil them, you take out the shell, there's a nut inside that's not edible. But if you boil it, the bitterness goes out. You could grind it. You could make like a pastry from it. You could make bread from it. You could live on it. He said, Rav Chaim Meiser, thank you. Now, the Indian, the shaila of Fandaguna and Yavamis. So he said, wait one second. You see this type of a plant, the tuber, the root, if you boil it, you cut it up. It's like an onion. He said, these are wild onions. This is wild celery. He took him for a half an hour walk. He was pointing out, like a botanist, all the different things. And he got back to Rav Chaim Meiser, looked at his watch, and he said, I'm sorry. You have to write it to me. I don't have time. The Beis Din is waiting, and he ran. And Rav Gusman said, I was a younger man. I thought, what kind of funny thing is this? And that was it. He never got a chance. He said the 4 years that I was a partisan, it was almost 5 years that I lived in the forest, every plant Reb Chaim Weiser pointed out to me kept me alive. Just a story. So it's one Friday night, one holy Friday night. He moved his yeshiva, end of his life, to Yerushalayim, Netzach Yisrael, on Rehov Ramban. And he's walking outside his street, up and down, up and down. He was learning the sugya of Takfakayin. And he was Niskasha, and a group of Israeli soldiers passed him. They're all carrying their guns, their walkie-talkies, their knives, whatever they carry. And they saw him, and one of the soldiers stopped. He looked like a malach coming to him. He said, "Slicha kvod harav, I apologize that we're carrying all these guns and neshek." And Rav Gusman looked at the soldier, and he said to him, "Do you know at your age what I would have done to be able to carry and have your gun?" Why do I say that story? Do you know in 1938 what Jews would have done to be half somebody who could sit with the Pope and dance with the Pope? Or by Xeris Tachtat? What bad could come out of having somebody Karav Lamalchus? Now, as far as going to the Pope, they say, "Oh, how could you go to the Pope? It's Asa." We know Yaakov Avinu met Esav, and the Gemara says that's how we learn how to deal with Roimi. We see Ma'aseh Avisim and Labanim of Yaakov Avinu. And in general, many of our prior leaders have gone, as recently now, Rabbi Avadya, the greatest, you know, from the Sfaradim, since the Rambam, probably. Moshe Avadya, like the Hashpa that he had on the Sfaradim of Klal Yisrael, Mount of Balei Tshuva, Rabim Heshe, he went to meet him, Rav Herzog tried to meet him, and generations before, Rabbi Shlaina Molcho, a dozen names I can give you that went to the Pope. There's nothing new about it. Now somebody's going to say they went maybe when there was a shayla of pikuach nefesh. There's no pikuach nefesh lefaneinu. You know, let me share with you a thought. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about Ruvain Astrolabes. He went to visit the Rami, and he had to change his begadim. He had to dress like a guy. He had to get a haircut. Says so the halacha is you're not allowed to do it. Okay, same loyselech l'tanisa daraisa. The Rambam Perek Yud Beis, I believe, Avodah Zarah, brings the story. And he brings that somebody whose Karav Lamalchus is allowed to go even be over on these Isurim. So the Kesef Mishnah asks, to be Karav Lamalchus, you're allowed to be over? He says, why? How could that be? He says, two terutzim. And the first terut he says is, because it's Hatzalas Nefashis, you're allowed to go. Very oft-quoted Kesef Mishnah. So I ask you, you're my very, very learned, brilliant crowd, right? If it's Hatzalas Nefashis, why does the Rambam have to tell us that he's allowed to go be over on Isser, B'chukaseyan lo selechu, to be over for B'kuach Nefesh, Hatzalas, you're allowed to be over any Isser, except for Avodah Zarah Gilui Raishu, you could be over anything. Certainly allowed to go change your haircut. And I put to you that the Kesef Mishnah is telling us a Chiddush, that even though always by Hatzalas Nefashis you need Lefaneinu, the mace has, the Schayla has to be sitting right over here. You can't, the famous Nida Behud about autopsies, a distant thing, doesn't affect us, it has to be Lefaneinu. But by Karev Lamalchus, right, when somebody, it's always Hatzalas Nefashis, because you never know when you're going to have to pick up the phone. You never know when you're going to have to use that relationship. And you can't say, let's build that relationship, let's develop a hava and a discussion when we're in danger, when you're trying to kill me. It doesn't work that way. I mean, the only reason Esav kissed Yaakov is because they were brothers beforehand, because he knew him from before. So I'm not saying that necessarily singing or dancing. I'm just saying that isn't conversation better than not, isn't having access better than not having access? I mean, how many lives could have been saved if we had access during the pogroms, during Gzeiras Tachtat, during the Hala? How many more of us would be here? How many more of the yeshivas, Kailin, Yungalite, cities, how many thousands, millions maybe would be more? So that's my opinion. Was it done 100%? I leave up to you. I can hear all the Rabbanim. But I think, and I may be the contrarian here, I think that we need more access, not less access. Let's go to our wonderful guests, and we're going to start off with a clip from the Tulsa Rosh Yeshiva.
This past Thursday afternoon, the Pope came to the United States and visited Miami. In the overwhelming crowd that went out to meet him and give honor to him, And because of that, all the streets and highways of Miami Beach were closed off, except for an emergency. Can you imagine a city completely closed off? Vosis, midaf mechabed zayin, demavi avoy satume. And among them who came to honor were committees of the Jewish community. Have we any words to describe how low we can sink? Give honor to those who killed so many of us. 6 million and more overseas. This is forgotten to an extent that the Rosh himself meets with Waldheim, president of Austria, one of those who in his cruelty killed Jews and non-Jews. And the Pope extends his honors to him just very recently. Can we say of ourselves, Ritzoneinu la'asos ritzoneicho, if this is what Jewish life can represent? Is really our will, our inner desire, to perform what Hashem Yisborach wants us to perform as expressed in Torah HaKadosha? Or are we trying to fool ourselves and to want to fool others? Something to give thought to. And this, in the month of Elul, Ot azei zol mezergreten af yomim neroim. Hear the wonderful words of the papal speech where he gives thanks and praise also to Jews. This is an example of how low we have sunk. One rabbi in Miami Beach called together the Shabbos before his shul, inviting all other Orthodox Jews that in that period of 4 hours, when the roads will be shut off and no one can be engaged in business matters, no one will be in any stores or businesses, don't go to give honor. Come to give honor to Hashem Yisborach. Come to shul and attend the shiurim that will be given throughout the 4 hours. And there was quite a crowd present in shul. There are those who do not think when there is someone to remind them of what Yisroel stands for. B'ni b'chayri Yisroel. My firstborn, my chosen one, Klal Yisroel. And when that chosen one is called and told, recognize and realize what you stand for and come to shul to learn Torah. Shiurim for men and for women. And the shul was packed. He happened to be a Telza Talmid, one who gained that pride in his heritage here in Cleveland at the Telza Yeshiva. It's far as I know, he was the only one in all of Miami. Not merely among reform and conservative, not much better could be expected of them, but even among the Orthodox Jews, those who deem themselves Shomrei Torah u'mitzvah. What indeed are our mitzvahs? What is Torah? If one can spend 4 hours last Thursday in giving honor to him who is the antithesis of what we represent, what we stand for. We have a lot to think about this Elul in preparation for Yomim Noroim. What happened there in Miami is ample reminder of where we stand, how far we are removed from where we should be standing. And then when one begins to hear tzoras in a Jewish community, whatever tzoras there are, whether it's tzoras, sickness with children, and there are many other tzoras in every Jewish community. It's time to examine ourselves. We look for reasons. Maybe the reason is with us. Maybe we are the cause of it all.
Well, it's amazing to have had a voice clip on this very matter. Now let's go to our wonderful guests.
We have the honor of having with us on the phone a very famous mechanech. He's been in chinuch for over 40 years. He's a Talmud Muvik of HaGoyin Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner, somebody who I was zeicher to be mishamish to, and he was given the honor of working on the Pachad Yitzchak. Today he's also the Morad Astra of Kehillas Beis Yehudit Tzvi of Cedarhurst. Welcome, Rav Yaakov Feitman.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Rav David.
So, Rav Feitman, recently a number of Rabbanim and Balabatim from Muncie, New York, in the shul of Rav Lezer Shiner, the great Askin, went to visit the Pope.
Right.
And it seems that it wasn't planned, but somewhat spontaneously, they broke out into singing, Oirich Yomim Asbiyeu, may he live a long and happy life, Areyu Bishuasi, and see in the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael. And the Pope sort of swayed with them, and they danced. And I believe that more problematically, in one of the videos, one of the Rabbanim asked him to pray for him. And I was curious if you could, as both a Talmud of the great Pachad Yitzchak, so you're not only a Baal Halacha, but a Baal Hashkafa, could you give us a little bit of Hashkafa and Halacha on this topic?
Well, you know, I just as a slight nose of the Bedichas here, I do have to share with you that the Rashida Zatzal once told me, and you knew him, so you can probably testify to this also, it's a Chassam Sefer, but he told it to me personally from himself. He says to me, Yankel, if you want to say over my Torah in your name, Gesundheit, but Laman Hashem, don't say your Torah in my name. So I have to be very careful not to be presumptuous enough that I'm speaking for him. But I believe that the following might be an approach. I know the elder Rabbi Gluck somewhat, and I'm really a fan of his. He's done many, many good things for Klal Yisrael. So I understand that his son, Rabbi Tzvi Gluck, has also done many, many wonderful things. And, you know, we have to look at the things that they are doing together, especially Rabbi Tzvi Gluck currently is saving many lives. And there are many mitzvahs that he's been doing under the Halacha of Hashavas Aveda. So the Gemara says the Sanhedrin Ayin Gimel that Vayshev Vayseh Loi means to return somebody's life to him. So whatever you have to do, you have to do. If it means going to the Pope, it means going to the Pope. And I believe that there's such a tradition. There's Leisavon Adam Reyecha, which the Rambam passes, it's in Shulchan Aruch Tov Mem Vav. of Chayshu Mishpat, Leisucha Lisale, we can't run away from such an opportunity. So I think that if there are opportunities to save Jews, and I'm really not aware, I must confess, how going to the Pope over here with the rabbi's gluck was going to help save lives. But let's make the assumption, let's be down the cuffs close, that it was something that going to a Pope would help. There's a long tradition, and one of the things that I wanted to suggest, actually, to your listeners, is that in the Beis HaMedrash, a compendium of Medrashim, which everybody holds of, and the Rishonim bring this, the story of the so-called Jewish Pope, whose name was Rabbi Chanan, and his father was Rabbi Shimon HaGadol. So it's very interesting the way that it's put in the Beis HaMedrash over there. I can give you the chapter and verse if you're interested, that he became the Pope. He was an adopted child, as so many were, and he was a brilliant Jewish child. They went up the ranks from being a priest to being a cardinal, and then eventually he became the Pope. And later, when he wanted to meet his father, Reb Shimon HaGadol, so he put out a gzeira, a decree against Klal Yisrael, knowing, and this is the key point in our discussion today, that therefore, and this is the way that it's brought in this particular medrash, verbatim several times, that his father would be chosen to come to him to cancel, to nullify the decree. So, I have many, many proofs throughout the ages in fascinating places. You know, for instance, there's a Paneach Raza in one of the newer editions that this Rabbi Zion's Zichrono Levracha, who writes the introduction, he quotes with Tzadik HaKayin that there was a Reb Nosson Officialo who met with Pope Gregory X in 1273 because it was necessary for Klal Yisrael. The Tzemach David met with the Pope just recently. We have Rav Herzog tried, he didn't get in because that Pope was a Russia. He was a wicked person, the Holocaust Pope, and he wouldn't even let him in. But Rabbi Lau, Rabbi Avad Yosef, and others have met with Popes when they felt that it would help Klal Yisrael. So for instance, the issue of, and I know some people have raised the issue that he was wearing a cross. You know, the Rambam says in Yerideya, Kuf Mem Aleph, that that's not a problem. It's a Truma Sadeshan. It's not even Asher Bahanoa, because most places can hold that the cross around the neck, the Chachmas Adam, passings like that.
I believe the Rambam says the only issue would be to bow to it.
But the only issue would be what? I'm sorry?
To bow to the cross.
To bow down, right. So I'm going to come to that in a moment. So that's not a problem. I have a suggestion for what the problem is, and I believe that what they did was the issur of chanifa. Chanifa, it's brought in Pesach. It's really what one could. I'm sorry,
Rabbeinu Yaina.
Rabbeinu Yaina Shari Tshuva, and the Mesolos Yisharim, all the great Bali Musa, of course, bring it. So one could say that that's only a bad midah, but it's actually brought as a prohibition. It's brought as an isur, and one of the isurim of Hanifa, which we could translate as being obsequious or sycophantic, there are so many translations, but the bottom line is it's playing up to somebody, and one of the languages of Paiskim is a Russia. Now, I wouldn't say necessarily that any particular pope is a Russia, although, interestingly enough, many of these great Gedolim and Tzaddikim met with popes that were clearly Rishoyim. Rav Herzog tried to meet with the Holocaust Pope Pius, it wasn't Pius, but Pope Pius the 12th, and he wasn't even allowed in. So to go and meet with the Pope is one thing, but to, like, for instance, singing that song that you talked about, where it's gratuitous, it's unnecessary, and I think that it's really chanifa. Even the Pope apparently was quite shocked by it, even if he was swaying to the music. But I think that nobody, as far as I know, of the Gedolim that have gone over the centuries, have sung to him, have praised him. That wasn't the point.
That's a very, very powerful point. I just want to go back because you said a lot of things. Would you consider, like, the first Makayr for visiting the Pope? And it's not clear in the Gemara, but I think it's the Gemara in Me'ilah and that's like Yud Beis or Yud Gimel. It says that the Rashbi, there was a Gzeira against Klal Yisrael, And
right.
I think it was Ruvain Astrobalus first went, and he wasn't successful. And then the Rashbi went with Rabbi Yossi, and it says that there was a shade that went into the princess. But he says, Gazra Malchus HaRusha. And he said, who's going to go to Rome? And he said, I'm going to Rome. They sent Rashbi to Rome. So, I mean, clearly Malchus HaRusha is, we're talking about, you know, the Malchus of Isaiah-ish. That's what it's false to, Malchus HaRusha. So I think we even already have a Gemara that discusses this in a way, no?
Right. No, absolutely. The only reason that I'm bringing the Gemara, you're bringing the Gemara very, very correctly, as always. But I think that the reason that I'm bringing in all these other sources is because they speak specifically about popes, the officiar,
right,
as called them, and in all the cases, and there are so many going through the time of the Ga'inim and the Rishonim, that it's very clear that they made their presentation, but totally without, without Hanifa. Now, it's interesting that there is a tshuva, Reb Menashe Kleinzatzal, let me see if I have it handy someplace, here it is, it's in his Chelek, the Mishnah Halachas, so it's in his Chelek Yud Sim and Reish Pei Dalet. So he talks about people that it is permissible to do Hanifa to, and he talks about a proper Hanifa. But then he does say in the middle of the tshuva, he says, Vata lo yachanif to certain people, but kol shken lo rishoyim. And if there's a sakana, so I don't really see this as a sakana, what they did, these wonderful people. I think that they're good people, but as you said, it was some of it was spontaneous, and I think that it was spontaneous wrong to engage the Hanifa towards people where they didn't expect the Hanifa, they didn't need it, it was totally unnecessary. And the Rush princess writes in the Ochas Chaim Lo Rush, so he writes that Hanifa v'al tadaber v'lei v'leis, don't talk out of two sides of your mouth. And I don't think that any of these people really felt that they should give the Pope a bracha or ask for a bracha, which is even worse. So Rabbi Menashe Klein, just to come back to the tshuva, says that Hanifa sometimes towards one's wife, meaning that the shalom bayis is permissible, or for a person that's very depressed and you want to build them up. So there, if there's a positive purpose to Hanifa, it's okay. But otherwise, it's an iser. It's an outright prohibition. And to do it to the Pope is, I think, really a desecration of our own dignity as Yidden. And as you know very well, there are many halachas about asking non-Jews for tzedakah, which border on chilul Hashem. There are times when it's permissible, when they want to do it. We know today you have many of the not under ecumenicalism, but the Christians that are on our side, so to speak. So they want to do certain things for us, and they beg us to, that's something else. But to go and beg the Pope, this seemed to me totally unnecessary. Unless I'm missing something, why there was a danger here to all of Klal Yisrael. All of the cases, as far as I know, of the Gedolei Yisrael, including the one that you talk about from the Rashbi, from the Gemara, when there was a danger to all of Klal Yisrael, this was unnecessary. Now, I'm not aware, this Rabbi Gluck and Rabbi Gluck, they probably have Rebbeim, they're good people, maybe they asked the Shiloh of somebody, but since they haven't revealed this to us, I have to say my opinion, which is that they went too far, even if it was spontaneous, I think the word was a little bit impetuous. And
so,
they have not, I think,
Rabbi, let me try to push back a little.
Please.
And that is, I believe, I haven't learned Hanufa in a while, but I believe that there's a concept in Hanufa that if you're not being chaynif to Russia on what he does bad, but you're being chaynif for something that is, if it's the Isr Hanifa Rishayim, in other words, there's a tshuva from Ramesha that I saw years ago where he talks about honoring a Machal Shabbos at a dinner.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm very well aware of the tshuva.
And the person who writes him writes that L'chayr is an Isr Hanifa, so Ramesha writes, you're not being kind of him for his Chol Shabbos, you're being kind of him for the fact that he was a big supporter, he gave a lot of money, he loved the yeshiva, etc. So Ramesha writes that the Isra of Hanifa L'Rishayim, and I think it's also relevant in another area, let's say somebody has a politician who's running, and he's pro-Israel, and he's also pro-abortion, pro-100 other Isurim in the Torah. So are you allowed to support? He wants school vouchers in Israel, and he's pro 100 other things, gay marriage, etc. So the halacha would be, according to Rav Moshe, you would be allowed to, because you're not being kind of him on gay marriage, you're not being kind of him, you're being kind of him for the fact that the good he does. Could the position be taking that the Hanifa here is, this is a person that historically one wrong word, and they pull out Jews and start shechting them. We've seen that for the last 2,000 years numerous times. Whereas the proper word from somebody like this allows for friendship and will save, could potentially save. So the two arguments would be that it's you're not being kind of him on a davar ra, and also a potential pikuach nefesh also could have a din of pikuach nefesh. What would you respond to if these gentlemen made this argument?
Well, so you know, you mentioned that you had this course of being Mishamish, our Rebbe Rav Hutner Zatzal.
Great Rav Hutner,
In the Sefer Zikaron, and it's also in one of his letters, but the Sefer Zikaron quotes it, so it's easy to find on page Tzadikah. I just pulled it out. He says, "V'ani kama nafshi b'cheles b'chanifa." Now, he was only writing to a Talmud that had... that didn't do anything wrong at all to a Jew. And what happened was the Talmud made a large contribution to the yeshiva, and he was writing a letter about something else, not about the contribution, not about the money. So he was bodek very carefully. He had written him a letter once before the donation, and he wanted to make sure that he didn't write one extra compliment or title. You know, he talks about writing. Let me see if I have the language over here, about writing an extra silufei hakavod, not to distort the concept of giving him honor improperly. So again, I have no problem with the visit to the Pope whatsoever. It is rooted in Jewish tradition and halacha and hashkafa. But what is not rooted is singing to him. Nobody, I think, has ever sung to him. And certainly, Aruch Yom Asbiyeyu, you know, and things like that, where you can wish him a nice day, have a wonderful day, but to sing to him with a guitar or whatever it was over there, some kind of music, I think is unnecessary and over the top, and therefore it borders on giving honor to Avodah Zarah, because as you, I think, alluded, we do believe that Roman Catholicism is Avodah Zarah. There are parts of Christianity that are not, possibly all those that do not accept the Trinity, the Unitarians, but the Trinitarians, of which the Roman Catholic Church is the centerpiece, are clearly representing Avodah Zarah. The cross at that point does become significant, not because of worship of Avodah Zarah, but because of giving to the person that represents the entire Avodah Zarah too much compliment and things that are unnecessary. If my Rebbe was watching his words, and I'm not taking anything out of context, one can look it up. If my Rebbe was watching his words to a Talmud, probably a Talmud Chacham, a wonderful person, and didn't want to go a little bit too far, that's Hanifa. There's certainly Hanifa to people that are outside of our realm and may be able to do something for us, but so what? So we go to them with dignity and with our heads held high, and that's it. I'm not aware of a Sakana Lefanenu, I must admit. There's a great difference in halacha, as you very well know, between a Sakana or a Pikuach Nefesh Lefanenu and one that is not Lefanenu. This was not, I think, Lefanenu, where somebody will die immediately unless we play Aruch Yom Asbiyeyu V'Arei Yeshua to the Pope. And this Pope, by the way, I have some personal knowledge, is in fact a sympathetic Pope in many ways to the Jewish people. He was very kind when he was in Latin America, and I have that on good authority. But not so much towards the state of Israel, which is another story. But I don't think that was warranted at all, based upon not only my Rebbe, but the other Chuvas that warn us about the horrors of Hanifa.
Well, thank you very much, Rabbi Feitman. It's been an honor to have you with us.
It's been my pleasure, and mazel tov on the second volume of your wonderful work. I was not Hanifa. I'm enjoying it. I'm in the middle of it. Thank you very much.
We have on the phone with us Rav Issa Zalman Weisberg. he was unique. When the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, wanted to publish articles in journals, Rabbi Zalman Weisberg was the one who he asked to write them for him. He's published over 50 pieces in such world-famous journals as Moiria, Pardes, Asya, etc. Also, he was for many years a Magid Shir in Chabad. Welcome, Rabbi Zalman.
Thank you very much.
Rabbi Zalman, a number of Rabbanim and Yungalayit, etc., went to the Pope a number of weeks ago, and it created a little bit of a brouhaha. They sang Erechel and Masbiyeu and some other Nagunim over there. And even though these are, I know many of them, and they're really Erlecha, special, special people, but they say it was sort of like a spontaneous outbreak. So if they were to go again, and they were to ask a question, A, would have been the Lubavitcher Rebbe's opinion about visiting the Pope, and B, about singing for the Pope, dancing with the Pope, as somebody who is a very makur of him and knows his writings intimately, give us a little bit, what would his opinion be?
Okay, so the first thing I want to be makdim is it's very hard really to speculate because, you know, there's a lot of pratim that are involved, and the only thing I could do is share with you, you know, what the Rebbe said about previous such kind of encounters with the Pope or with the Vatican or Christian leaders, and, you know, people, you could take from there what you could take. You know, there may be possibly, you know, specific situations or specific reasons that the Rebbe would have a different opinion. Again, that's pure speculation. The only thing I could do, like I said, is review what the Rebbe has said, what was published, and, you know, from his bringing what he said publicly and what was published in letters and as well different conversations that people publicized that they ever had with them about this issue. So let me just, you know, talk about that and then, you know, how to apply it to this is really, that's not my place. That, you know, the listeners are going to have to do.
What I think we find it interesting is, besides that we have, you know, Chabad listenership, but I think that many people would agree that when it came to open-mindedness, kiruv, reaching out, the great Rebbe of Chabad was, you know, at the forefront. So that's why I think it would be particularly interesting, such an, you know, forward thinker, open-minded, embracing thinker, what would have he thought about this?
That's an excellent point, and I want to get to that because really, you know, what you're saying, it looks like a steer. The Rebbe's open-mindedness and the Rebbe's positivity and the Rebbe looking at Shalom and Achdus and all these kind of things. You know, L'chaira, it would seem to indicate that he might be pro such a thing. So it's very important to stress that really that was not the case. And in fact, for that very reason that you said, because of his open-mindedness and because of his positivity, really in this case, the reverse is true. Just to give you a marshal, I'm saying, so, you know, you have a parent, for example, who loves a child and is always justifying everything they do. And, you know, it's not really his fault and he'll get out of it and this and that. And, you know, and never Chas v'Shalom hits the child and tries not to rebuke the child. And it's always love, love, love. But then there's a time, you know, that a child does something which endangers his life or something which is very, very dangerous, and the parent will scold the child or even hit a child, and it seems like a steer, really, but really it comes from the very same thing. It's because of the intense love for the child that sometimes it expresses itself in the opposite. So, you know, we're going to see. I'm going to get to that in a little while, but really it's an excellent point that you brought up, and I'm going to try to explain why it's adarabah. So first, I mean, there's a couple of points over here. First, you know, first and foremost, obviously, in every issue, the first thing we turn to is Shulchan Aruch. So the first thing I think is to review the Rebbe's, you know, halachic opinions and what the halachic issues are involved in this, and then, you know, to go on to the other things involved as well. Because there are many other things when a Gadol of Yisrael decides something, you know, it's the halacha, it's the metaphysical, it's the ramification, it's how it's understood, it's the long-term effects, et cetera, et cetera. So, but let's start, I mean, first and foremost is really the halacha. So the Rebbe spoke about it several times, and he mentioned, you know, several issues in halacha. So the first thing, obviously, you know, when it comes to anything connected to Avodah Zarah, which is mamish chamur sheba chamuris, you know, and even Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, and Shemitz Avodah Zarah, and it's mamish yagval yavah. So the first thing is, obviously, the issur that the Rebbe stressed was, you know, the Isser, the lava of El Tifno al Alilin, that you're not allowed to learn or be exposed to or even look at anything connected whatsoever to Avodah Zarah. So that includes, you know, any kind of discussion where anybody's going to present their views or you're going to be exposed to their views. You know, the Rebbe held it was very strictly Usser. It's interesting that you know, when Amesha was asked, you know, this question about having dialogues, et cetera, I mean, he stressed more the concept of, you know, this, it's connected with, he has a tshuva, you know, I'm sure you're aware that it's connected with Mesa Sumediyah because their whole kavanah is really to convert, et cetera, et cetera. But the Rebbe didn't stress that. I don't think he disagreed with him, but he didn't stress it. He stressed more that it, regardless of their kavan, even if their intentions are good, which is a very important point, because a lot of times you're going to say, well, you know, times changed, it's a different kind of pope, it's a different kind of atmosphere, and maybe their intentions are good, and they have no intention really, you know, to convert or et cetera. But the Rebbe said you're not allowed to be exposed, you know, to anything connected to Avodah Zarah, and the Rebbe was very, very, very emphatic about that.
Interrupt, Rav Weisberg.
Sure.
There's a history, I can name 10 or 15 times when people went to the Pope. I mean, the Baal Shem Tov would go to Chassidus, send somebody to the Pope. After the first Crusade massacres, the Yidden went to Pope Calixtus. Reb David Reifer, the Tzemach David, went to the Pope. I mean, Reb Shloime Molcho went to the Pope. Reb David Vidal Ben Bashti, Reb Moshe Abulefya went to the Pope. I mean, there's so much history of going to the Pope. So to take the position, you're not allowed to go to the Pope, or it's a surah, you know, whatever
I'm saying, you know...
Going against the law. The Gemara says that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai went to Malchus Harisha. It's referring...
100%. Rabbi David, you could even quote earlier sources. I mean, the Rambam, who's so machman all in Yanei Avodah Zarah, I mean, he himself was a big buck in all Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and in fact, to be a member of the Sanhedrin, he had a big buck in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So obviously, there is Yetzim in HaKal, especially for Gedalia Yisrael, and especially in its Pikuach Nefesh. I mean, in previous times, it was very, very different. The Jews were in a very precarious situation. The Pope really held the key, you know, to life and death for many Jews. A lot of things were mamish connected with Sakonis the Fascists. In the times of the Rebbe, it was a completely different atmosphere. I think the Rebbe held that it's not really crucial. It's not connected with the Koach Nefesh, and even some things that not necessarily, you know, the things that you think you may be accomplished. I'm not saying, again, I'm not judging this particular case or these particular people, but, you know, basically from all the discussion of the Rebbe, it seems that the Rebbe felt in our day and age, in contrast, the Rebbe never, you know, criticized anyone that did it in previous generations, but in our day and age, it's not something that, and it's surely something which is a very, very serious thing and requires, you know, a lot of big Talmid Chachamim and people that really know exactly all the nuances and halachas of Avodah Zarah and how to conduct themselves and things like that. So, yeah, definitely there are exceptions, and that's why I didn't want to comment about this specific case. But I'm just sharing with you, the Rebbe, from all the years and many different times when this issue came up, he was always uncompromising. He didn't say, well, something good is going to come out of it.
So the question is,
so I'm telling you, so we're talking, first of all, this serious issue, we're talking about El Tifdu Al Elilim, it's a very serious issue, but it could be overridden certain times. Like I told you, the Sanhedrin had to learn all of Avodah Zarah. The Rambam was familiar with it. So there are times, but you really have to know when and what, and the Rebbe felt that nothing really in our time justifies it. So,
what is Al-Tifner?
The Rambam says you're not allowed to be mistakel, you're not allowed to be mahara, you're not allowed to be exposed to any ideas, any ideas connected to Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to be in a place of Avodah Zarah.
Meeting with somebody doesn't, they're not having a debate about religion, so how does that have to be, how would that be Al-Tifner El-Alilam?
Okay, so the thing is like this. I mean, if, again, you know, the issues that the Rebbe discussed really were dialogues. Initially when the things came out in the 60s, you know, when the Vatican was very interested in promoting, you know, their agenda of making, you know, peace between all the religions and things like that. A lot of the things that the Rebbe discussed was not specifically, you know, approaching the post for something very, very specific. But it's not, it was, you know, to enter into some kind of dialogue, and that's really what a lot of the intention of the people who went with the Pope over in recent times, I'm not talking about in previous generations, was, you know, to have a more open atmosphere and more understanding and to stress the commonality between religions, et cetera, et cetera. So these kind of things, you know, I don't know this particular meeting, but these kind of things, the Rebbe was very, very against any kind of, but you're right. I mean, there could be, like I said before, I'm not going to speculate in this particular case.
But let me go back to your case, okay? If you have a Sine, would you rather have a dialogue with him or would you rather not have a dialogue with him?
Well, you know, that's what I mentioned before, David, that you know, there were particular cases where it was crucial for Klal Yisrael, and it was involved in Yonam of Pikuach Nefesh, and Rav Herzog also, you know, wanted to meet as far as, you know, saving the, you know, the children who were from the Holocaust, you know, the survivors of the Holocaust, you know, to bring them back, the children that were in monasteries, et cetera. And there are various times for Pikuach Nefesh or to save, you know, Jewish and Yiddish and Neshamas, et cetera, that certainly Surim could be overridden under certain circumstances. you know, but it's a very, very serious issue when you're dealing with Avodah Zarah, and it has to be dealt with in a very serious way. I'm just sharing with you that the issues that the Rebbe dealt with were usually issues that were talking about some kind of dialogue, there was exposed, you know, some, you know, to.
But Rabbi Weisberg, let me ask you a question. Isn't it reasonable to assume that even though right now, living in Muncie, Flatbush, Borough Park, Lakewood, we don't see any anti-Semitism from the church, but there is a history of 1,500 years of anti-Semitism. You know, the Crusades, Tachtat, the Holocaust is just, I know people who have siblings who died in the Holocaust. Isn't it reasonable to assume that we shouldn't look at a 50 years of happy living in America and saying, you know, Ishtana Milsa, the world has changed, but to assume, you know, there could be a time when even like the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, Tchuyim, Sufim, Nerdafim, where you can say a ger, that one day we will be, and having a relationship and a dialogue with, you know, the Malchus HaResha could be very valuable. So the question is, well, we should have the dialogue then. Well, you know, if you want to create a dialogue, it's very hard to do it when you're sitting at the tip of a sword. It's much better to do it when things are, they say, I know in real estate, the best time to ask for a loan is when you don't need the money.
Right.
I mean, the best time to create a friendship and a dialogue is when you don't need anything, and hopefully, should it ever be a change, at that point, there is a relationship. And, you know, I'll share a story. I don't know if I ever said it on...
No, go on.
Rav Gustman, I don't know if I said it on the air, but I remember it made such a powerful impression on me. Rav Gustman was in Eretz Yisrael. He was great. He was very close to Chabad. He was Rosh Yeshiva in Chabad for a while. He was walking. He was learning a Shveris Sugya, and it was Friday night, and he was standing outside his dira on Rechov Ramban. He was walking up and down, and a few Israeli soldiers passed him, and they were all carrying their guns and their neshek and their... And they looked at him, and he looked like a malach, and they said to him, "Oh, slichak for the Rav, we apologize that we're carrying guns on Shabbos." And Rav Gusman looked at him, and he said, "Ah, when I was your age, what wouldn't have I have done to be able to carry a gun?" You do it, right? So my point is, what would have Jews in 1938 or 39 or 40 having given to having had a few guys who had danced with Pope Pius and sang with him, Oirech Yamim Asbiyeyu, and maybe had a relationship where they could have begged him, please, don't let them have ovens going in Auschwitz. What would have such a relationship in Zeres Tachtat, or when you read the Kinnis of Rabbi Meir what by the Crusades, for a Jew to have had access to the Vatican in those days, and you can't make that relationship when they're stoking the ovens. So don't we as an ummah who's so near the for so many have to have a little bit chacham einav b'roshay and say, let's create these relationships so chas v'shalom, if it ever happens, the b'halacha b'yadua she'etav sein ol Yaakov, we have some access?
I mean, 100%. The Rebbe was very much, you know, for creating, you know, very respectful relationships. I mean, he had a lot to do with non-Jews, you know, and he was very, very, you know, into, you know, creating these relationships and working together on things, communal things and things, you know, for the benefit of mankind, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm just saying these things, when you're talking about, you know, meeting, you know, religious leaders in a certain context, there are serious halachic issues that are involved. And the times when it came up, you know, during when the Rebbe was alive, he was very against it. Like I started saying in the beginning, that I'm not going to speculate how the Rebbe would, what exactly happened, what their intentions was, what their purpose was, what they wanted to accomplish, and what the Rebbe would say. I could only, you know, repeat to you. You ask him what the Rebbe's opinion is. I could just say, in the past, the people who went to the Pope, it was more than just very. It was giving a certain chivas. It was feeling a certain pride that, you know, that he's even accepting us, and he's showing us respect. There was a lot of other issues involved, and again, how to take this further and how to apply it to other situations, it's speculation. I can't really argue with anything you're saying. I'm just here to, you know, to represent the Rebbe's opinion. There's another issue, you know, that the Rebbe also mentioned, several other halachic issues. One is, you know, the issue of you know, v'shem l'kimachem l'shaskiri, you're not allowed to say or mention or give any respect whatsoever to anything connected to Avodah Zarah. And this protocol, you know, when you meet with religious leaders, the Pope or cardinals or whatever, there's ways to respect them. There's, sometimes you have to bow to them. There's different kinds of things. And these things are strictly forbidden. You have to really know the halachas in and out and speak with Gedolei Yisrael, how you have to conduct yourself. You don't want to be disrespectful. You don't want to make a chil Hashem. On the other hand, you don't want to violate, you know, Isurim that are connected to Yarag V'Yavar. I mean, the Rebbe was so strict with the things. You know, the Rebbe didn't allow even somebody to, if somebody lives on a street or a city that had the word saint in it, the Rebbe didn't only, you weren't even allowed to say or write that you live in St. Louis, for example, you weren't even allowed to write an S because the S stands for saint, and saint is giving respect to another religion, and that's Avodah Zarah. The Rebbe was against giving any kind of chesivus whatsoever to the Olympic Games because, you know, 2,000 years ago, you know, when the Greeks started the games, it was connected, it was done in you know, out of respect to their Avodah Zarah, you know, in the city of Olympia, and these Olympics have no shaitas to it, but just saying the name is somehow connected with the Shem Elokim Achem Leisaskiru, and you know, it could be a serious issue, or Avodah Zarah. So all these things are very, very serious issues, chamurish b'chamurish, and you have to really know what you're doing. You know, speak to a lot of Gedolei Yisrael, know how to present yourself, how to speak, how to, you know, what you're allowed to say, what you're not allowed to say, what kind of respect you're allowed. You know, what I'm saying is the Rebbe was very, very apprehensive, more than apprehensive, I'm saying. He was, you know, he felt that it really doesn't justify. In the previous cases, again, I'm not dealing with this case because that would be pure speculation. But there's another point, though, that I want to point out. It's not just the halachic issues, you know, that the Rebbe pointed out. There's something much deeper. I mean, and you know, the Indian of Chassidus Bechlal, you know, one of the major, you know, Chedushim of Teres Chassidus was the importance and the stress on Einoid Muvadi, you know, that the Eibishter is everywhere and everything, and there's nothing, you know, outside of the Eibishter, and everything that you see in this world that sort of looks that it's hiding godliness or against godliness is just a facade, and we just have to break through it, and we'll see the truth. You know, this was the Rebbe's opinion, that nothing in the world could stand in our way, and we have to stand with, you know, with strength and pride and not be afraid of anything. The Rebbe always used to quote the statement from the Friedrich Rebbe that when he was being imprisoned in 1927, you know, in the Stalinist regime for spreading Yiddishkeit, on his way to prison, you know, he stood up before he entered the train and he said, everybody should realize that, you know, Gullus means, the Gullus was only in our guf, not on our neshama. We should never submit whatsoever, you know, one iota of our Jewish pride, you know, to Goyim or Goyishkeit and never been spoiled from the darkness of the world. You know, that was the attitude of the Rebbe, even before when it was popular to go out all over the world and spread Yiddishkeit. And the whole idea was, you know, to spread Einoid Muvadi, to spread Kedusha, and to reveal that there's nothing in the world that really opposes that. And therefore, that's my previous, what you mentioned earlier, you know, is what I wanted to point out, that because the Rebbe saw the positive in everything, he saw the goodness and the godliness in everything and in every Jew, no matter how far he was, and even in Goyim, like the Rebbe always stressed the goodness of America, for example, that it's a Medina Shel Chesed and they believe in God, and in God we trust is imprinted on every single, you know, coin and every single dollar bill, and they even have a holiday called, you know, Thanksgiving to thank Hashem, and he looked at it like the things that are connected, you know, to Avodah Zarah, they don't really mean, and it's very external. He was very much, you know, stressing the positive and seeing the positive and seeing, you know, the godliness and everything. But because of that also, anything which was a direct contradiction to Achdus Hashem, so when you're actually giving respect to something which is connected to Avodah Zarah, which is Hepach Achdus Hashem, he was very strongly opposed to that because it comes from the very same thing, the very same, you know, motivation to see the good in everything. When something actually is in clear contradiction to that, which is anything connected to Avodah Zarah, the Rebbe was adamant that we have to stay, you know, stay away from this, you know, but tachlis. So Einach Nami, the Rebbe was very, you know, all embracing and looked at the good in everything, and let's use everything for Avodah Hashem, and let's find the good even in technology and all these things to spread Torah and Yiddishkeit. But something which is directly opposed to Achdus Hashem, the Rebbe was, you know, extremely, extremely careful not to have any shaychus whatsoever, you know, to anything which is against that whole mission of bringing out, you know, the kedusha and the kavod Hashem in the world. So it's it's really not a steer. I mean, I heard once from Moshe Wolfson. He said he was talking once about the Rebbe, and he said that. Many Gedolei Yisrael were like very, very careful to defend their communities from any hashpah from the world, but the only one that, you know, that stood up on an offensive battle to take on, he said that his lashon was to take on the Sitra Achra and then a one-on-one battle to take over the world and to bring, you know, holiness into the world, to bring out the good in the world and the Kedusha in every Yid, and even the positive things in the Goyim, you know, it was the Rebbe to bring, and it's all this is part of the Lubavitch campaign, you know, to be public menorahs, you know, to build Jewish pride and Yidden should feel very proud.
The pride of Yaakov, we say, Koimemius Lartzeinu, standing with pride, recognizing the Yechidus of Klal Yisrael, that's what you're saying.
Right.
How would visiting the Pope be different, and singing be different from Yaakov Avinu sending three loads of gifts to Esav HaRasha? Isn't it like just a very Maisa Avos in Labanim there?
You have to understand, David, any extra, whatever is needed to accomplish what you have to accomplish, in other words, whatever they have to accomplish, if without singing that song, which showed him respect, would have accomplished the same thing, so that was a serious violation of giving Chashivas Tavai Dezara. You have to be so careful with this. Yaakov Avinu knew exactly what to do, what not to do, how much and how much not. These are some things, like even Yosef HaTzadik was nenash because he had too much reliance. You have to be mishtadl, but Chazal felt that for someone on his level, you know, just telling the Sarah Mashkim, you know, was an agent that he had to sit in jail for two more years for. So these things are very, very delicate. Only great people know exactly how much you have to and how much not. You know, like when Ravadi Yosef met with the Pope, he made sure that it should be, you know, he wore his thing and he wore his luchas. It should be done in a proud way, chas v'shalom, not to be mevater on, you know, on the goyin yankif whatsoever. And for regular people, even people that mean well, you know, to be involved in these kind of things, where every extra respect that you give, you know, is a shayla of Abizrael David Zara. Like I'm saying, yes, you sometimes you have to do it, but you have to know exactly how much. And one mashahu more, mashahu David Zara is also aser. You know, that's the thing. That's why these things have to be dealt with in a very, very serious way. You know, speaking with your Lubavitcher, obviously you have to speak with the experts who know the Rebbe's opinion, with the Rabbonim and the Askanim who are involved, you know, all the years and know what the Rebbe's opinion are. Or if you, you know, if you're not, you have to speak with other Gedali Yisrael. It's not something that has to be taken lightly. It needs a lot of preparation, you know, and a lot of, you know, advice from Gedal Yisrael, because yes, you have to show, if you want to accomplish something, you have to show respect, but any extra iota of respect that you show could be a serious violation of Abba Zarah Davei Dezara.
Well, Rav Weisberg, thank you very much for representing what you believe, the history of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's opinion on this matter, and it was an honor to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
We have on the phone with us, from Muncie, New York, Rav Aaron Lankry, who's the Maradasra of the most popular shul in the entire Munsi called Erechaim. He's also the Miyasid of Yeshivas Yerudeya. Welcome, Rav Aaron. So you have some Lebedeke Chevra in your shul. And a few weeks ago, they went to visit the Pope in the Vatican.
Yes.
And we wanted to discuss a few different elements of that visit. Let's start with the halacha element, that the Mechaba in Hilchos Avodas Kechavim and Hilchos Akum, and it's, I think it's Kuf Mem Teh, says, you know, Yesh Aimrim, the Ramah says, that you're not supposed to go into an ear shell Avodas Zarah on any measure. And I want to know, A, how did they work around, what was the workaround of this halacha in Shulchan Aruch about entering the Vatican? And then we want to talk about, you know, in general, the concept of meeting the Pope, who many would see today. I think there's a tape from Rav Gift that he sorry Shalesov. And, you know, the church has caused the death of millions, literally millions of Jews. And so let's talk about it first from a halacha and then from a hashkafa point of view. And I'm not to say that you're achroy and everything that the Lebedik and Chevra in your shul do. I just wanted, Ulai Daimer, maybe you have an opinion about it. Let's start with the halacha about not entering. So, I don't know,
No one asked, I was not presented the shayla, and as far as entering, to my knowledge, and I know this for a fact, there were many gedolim that met with the Pope.
Gedolim? Like who?
Well, Shimon HaTzadik.
Yeah, but he didn't do it in the question is going into a Vatican, like the holy city, it's called.
Knowledge.
That's a different, that's a, of Harchik Mehem, so that's,
right.
That's a...
This is the private palace of the Pope. They did not go into the Vatican. This was not where people think.
It's in Vatican City, though.
I understand.
As it in, the Mechaber says, Chatzah Shalavai Dezara, Yedinei Ki'ir Shalavai Dezara. And V'yeshayim, the Kala Inyan Asa. You're saying that there are... You're saying there are others who are makel, you're saying there's an avenue to be makel.
Is there an avenue to be makel? And that's a shaila for the people that actually went in, right? Those specific rabbanim that met with the pope in the designated area, which was a private residence, right? That's a shaila that they declared upon, and they were weighing their circumstances and their issues of kahal, just like Shimon HaTzadik did back in his day. And
but Shimon HaTzadik was not in a church. It was in the
private residence.
No, it wasn't. It doesn't say it was in the private. It says he saw him outside when he met Alexander Meichten. You're talking about it was a time of war. It wasn't. He didn't do it in a residence.
Actually, the Pope was his son. That's the Meister. The Pope was his son. And his son was abducted as a child and eventually became the pope. And eventually the pope made a decree against Menencia and the towns that he lived in. And he went to negotiate that there should be a break on the Gzera. As a result of that, that's how Shimon HaTzadik's son brought his father to come speak to him.
Where are you quoting from?
Havas Chaim, Maskedolim. This is the story of the Rishonim from Tkufas Rishonim. Not only that, when the Crusades reached,
Shimon HaTzadik is in the times of the Mishnah.
Shimon HaGadol. He's one of the Balei Taisus.
Okay.
His son was abducted, and his son eventually became the pope. And his son, in order to get his father to come, made a decree against his town, and he, as the Gadol, had to travel to Rome to defend the Jewish Kahal. I personally know the Rabbanim that went there, right? They're Anshe Shlemim, they're Tzadikim, and they went for Tzarchi Tzibo.
Okay, so let's talk about the non-halachic.
Okay, so the hashkafic issue is, first of all, everything we see, is that a reality? Is that the absolute reality? Every clip we get on WhatsApp or we get on YouTube or whatever, is that really what's taking place? And the answer is, it's not. It's not what's taking place. There are other things that are being taken place, other things that are realistic, and this is not what happened. Now, for us to come and to psychoanalyze or dissect Rabbanim Chashuvim that have given their life to Klal, and they felt, and they were miyayis with their Rabbanim, whoever their Mori Derech is, that here's an opportunity, we have a way to be maybe Nosechein for the Tzarchei Am Yisrael, or whatever their issues were that they wanted to do, right? Are we in a position to come and say, ha, they're wrong? There were other Gedolim that did it. Now, if we come and we just slam
them... Can you think of any Gedolim who've done it?
They've done it maybe in a more private arena. Yes, throughout history, there were Gedolim that met the Pope, but it was done more privately. Here, this was a leak of technology of our generation. Otherwise, going in... Those people, no pictures, no recording, no nothing. It was not meant to be a public spectacle.
So how would you explain it? You're meeting the head of Sari Shalaisav. You're meeting the one who's caused the death of millions of Jews. Rav Gifter says, are we forgetting the Holocaust so quickly?
We're not forgetting the Holocaust. There's a paradigm shift in the relationship between the church and Am Yisrael. They've been doing things, as quote Rabbi Bleich has been meeting and has been retrieving artifacts from the Vatican. As a result of that, Rabbanim that are Isaac with them have discovered a change in their attitude. And part of their change is mainly due to the fact of the awakening of the Arab Spring. And therefore, they're looking to create new alliances of some sort that will be better enhancing, obviously, for them to have their best interests involved. And, you know, your enemy's enemy is your friend. I'm not saying that this is the absolute reality. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just giving another vantage point.
Okay, and we had one of the Rabbanim. I got a bunch of emails. Tells the Pope, the Pope says, rather strangely to this Rav, he says, will you pray for me? So the Rav responded, will you pray for me? And I got a bunch of emails from guys saying, somebody's asking, you know, the Avi Avos HaTumah to pray for him. How do you explain that? I mean, I'm not putting you on the spot because you didn't say it.
I was the slightest
idea. But I'm just saying that I'm just asking the questions.
I would answer it like Bikshani
Lishael. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is the way I would identify it. It's a simple question. Our objective, and you'll find this in Ramchal, Der Hashem, is to be Or LaGoyim. That's what we're supposed to be. We were chosen for what? To be persecuted? No. We were chosen to be the stewardess and the flight attendants of the world. Now, what happens when the flight attendants pour soup on you? You get upset at them. That's called anti-Semitism. We were put together with a tafkid, pokoid, yifkoid eschem, to be or lagoyim. The day we're not doing our jobs, they hate us. They hate us. So if our objective is to be an Or LaGoyim and they ask us to daven for them, we will daven for them, right? At the same time, we want to bring them to tefillah also, to be recognized as a Borei La'olam, there's monotheism, there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's our mission. That's our mission as a nation. As a result of that, yeah, he should also bring him to tefillah. Why not?
Rabbi Lanker, I think what you're saying is interesting. You're saying that when they hate us, it's because of what we're doing. I mean, Nefesh HaChaim sort of says something like that. We empower them. But on the other hand, you know what I mean? V'nikesi damim lo nikesi. What does it say? We harninu goyim amoy ki dam avodav yikayim v'nakam yashiv letzarav. We say that the Rebbeinu Shalom will be naikim against them.
That's his job.
So that's not our job.
But we have an iser of nekama. We're now to be naikim. We have to rely on a color. Yeshdin v'yeshdayin.
So you're saying that we are not supposed to hate the Nazis because they were doing
We're entitled to be human. We're entitled to be human. We're entitled to have emotions, we're entitled to have feelings, and we have to have feelings, and we have to say to ourselves, never again. But we need to remember what's the cause. The cause was our Lashon Hara. The cause was our own sin as chinam. Now we need to ask ourselves, as a result of this entire event, and everyone watched it, right, what was our response? Were we upset at ourselves? Were we upset at Yidin? And therefore we didn't learn the lessons of Sinas Chinam for 2,000 years? Or we were passive? Or, you know, was this an opportunity for us to come and say, oh, look how miserable these people are, that they went and did something, how could they forget? Or were we concerned about, oh, one second, what am I doing right now? Am I being over on 27 different lavin from the Chafetz Chaim, and that he says that the Churban was Mishum Lashon Hara? What is my nisayin? It's true, they have a nisayin not to bring people to talk about them. That's their bad. But what's our bad as a klal? I want to believe that no one spoke Lashon Hara. No one's down on them. On the contrary, okay, they'll do tshuva. It's between them and Hashem. If there's an avera. But for us, as a klal, if we really believe that Rome was the ones that destroyed Am Yisrael, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, then we've missed the boat. No, we've missed it. We've forgotten the lessons of the Churban. We're off track.
So there's no mitzvah to be Sinei, somebody who killed another Jew who was Mitzayir Yid, because it's our fault?
There's a mitzvah. For if it's a yid,
if it's a guy, let's say it's a guy.
I don't know if it's a mitzvah.
Well, not a mitzvah. Are you allowed to hate somebody who caused terrible death and damage, Nevuzadrain, who killed Sarah Tabachim, who killed so many Jews. What do we say? Look, he's doing his shlichus. If we hate him, it's because we're human, but he was just doing what we empowered him to do. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Is that our attitude?
I don't know if that's our attitude. We're entitled to be human. We're entitled to have feelings without the veil. The question is how we're going to act upon it. How are we going to act upon it? That's a different concept, right? We are human. But if we really believe that the cause of the Churban was an ancestor of this individual, then we haven't learned the lesson of the Churban.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a great honor and a pleasure to have you with us. Rabbi Aaron Lankry, the Maradastra of Arachayim and the Miyasid of Yeshivas, Yerudeya in Liberty, New York. Thank you, Rabbi Aaron.
Thank you, Rabbi
David. Bye-bye.